This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah. He sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathiran. From Mabadu, my brothers and sisters, we are in our Aqidah lesson, and we are talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. And we are saying here that when we talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regard to himself and how he is. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. When we say subhanallah, it means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect in every aspect, in terms of his dhat, his sifat, his af'al, in terms of his person, in terms of his attributes, in terms of his actions. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does is perfect. Sometimes we may understand this perfection, and it may be clear to us. At other times, we may not be able to understand this perfection, but we believe that this perfection exists and that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does is good and perfect. We know that His knowledge is perfect and it encompasses everything and is not dependent on anyone or anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything that exists because He is the one who brought it into existence. He doesn't just know about something, He knows that thing in its most intimate detail because He is not simply an observer, He is not simply somebody who has discovered it, He is not somebody who just knows about it, He is somebody who actually created it, and that is from every conceivable thing, from the smallest to the largest, from the nearest to the furthest. In every single aspect of it, His power is absolute and supreme. He created and He can and will destroy and end when it is His wish to do so. He can do anything He wants and nobody has any say in it. His mercy is all encompassing and He can forgive anything and anyone that He wishes, without having to justify that to anybody, without having to answer to anybody for it, without having to answer anyone's question about it. And any rules that He mentioned about Himself, He made those rules and is not subjected to them. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that His mercy overcomes His anger. This is something that He is saying about Himself, is His rule. And we ask Him for this, alhamdulillah. But we do not say that Allah is bound even by that rule. And finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always is and always will be. And He is therefore unchanging and unchangeable. Completely and totally constant. Now we talk about two aspects when we look at the at our lives, and we look at the creation. One we call Qudratullah and the other one we call Sunnatullah. Qudratullah is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sunnatullah is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does normally. That is His way. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make and do anything He wishes, and as I mentioned, He is not subject to His own laws. But He made the laws of nature and therefore He does not change them except in exceptional situations when He wishes to do so. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam as a prototype, and He said He created him from clay. And then from Adam alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him as a prototype, as a full-grown man, male. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him life, and from his rib, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created his mate, our mother, Hawa alayhi salam. She again was created as a full-grown adult woman. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the process of reproduction as we know it, when a man and a woman meet and they have offspring, and this is the process that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for all human beings to follow after Adam and Hawa alayhi salam. So this is the process of production and reproduction of human beings. The Qudrat of Allah is the creation of Adam and Hawa alayhi salam. The Sunnat of Allah, which is also the Qudrat of Allah, it is also from the power of Allah, but the Sunnat, the normal way in which a human being is born, is when a man and a woman have sexual intercourse. Having said that, in the case of Isa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala produced a person, a baby, without the interference of any man. Maryam alayhi salam gave birth to a child, Isa alayhi salam, without the interference of any man. No man touched her. She did not have any man involved in the matter. This is to demonstrate, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to demonstrate His power, to say and show that He is not subject to His own laws. But if somebody wants to have a child and they say, I want to have a child, I'm making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what will you say to him? We'll ask him, are you married? If you're not married, get married first. Then make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you do not get married, if you are a virgin, if you are a single person, if you are celibate and you want to have a child, you can make dua until you die, it will not happen. Because illa mashallah, unless Allah wants, but as a rule, it will not happen. Because this is the sunnah of Allah, that the only way that a baby is born is when a male and a female come together. And this is true for whoever Allah created with that rule. We also know that nothing moves or happens except by His will and except with His knowledge. Allah knows everything which happens and everything which will happen, because for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, time is also His creation, and He is not subject even to time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned His glory and majesty, and He said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, qul illahumma malikal mulk, tu'til mulka man tasha'u wa tanzi'ul mulka mimman tasha'u. وتعز من تشاء وتذل من تشاء بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير تولج الليل في النهار وتولج النهار في الليل وتخرج الحي من الميت وتخرج الميت من الحي وترزق من تشاء بغير حساب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Allah, the possessor of the kingdom, you give the kingdom to whom you will, and you take the kingdom from whom you will, and you honor whom you will, and you humiliate whom you will, and in your hand is all good. Verily, you are able to do all things. You make the night to enter into the day, and you make the day to enter into the night. You bring the living out of the dead, and you bring the dead out of the living, and you give wealth and sustenance to whom you will, without limit, without measure, and without account. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with us and to guide us and to help us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again mentioned about His khudrat, about His ability. وَيَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ in Surah Ibrahim, and Allah does whatever He wills. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْكُمُ مَا يُرِيدُ verily Allah commands that which He wills. Whatever He wants, He can command and it will happen in Surah Al-Ma'idah. Then Allah said, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ in Surah Yasin, verily His command when He intends a thing is only that He says to it, be, and it is. Allah does not labor and Allah does not get tired, right? This is the distinction, one of the many distinctions that we have between our belief and Christian faith, where they said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'udhu billah, labored for 6 days and on the seventh day He rested. We say Allah is not like us. Allah does not get tired. Allah does not need rest. We worship Allah because Allah is unique. Allah simply says, be and it is. Allah does not have to slog and work hard, right? And work up a sweat and get tired and exhausted and then have to rest. No. All of these are our attributes. And we do not ascribe our attributes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we do not take Allah's attributes and assign them to any human being. This is the foundation of our taqwa and of our tawheed. Allah said, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. But you cannot will, whatever you want will not happen unless Allah wills. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. That is why we say, Inshallah, if Allah wills. My brothers and sisters, the greatest pillar, the first and foremost pillar, the central pillar of the tent of Islam, right? Bunyan al-Islam ala khamsin, the foundation of Islam is based on five things, and the first and foremost of those five things, the central pole of the tent, and the other four are around it. The first one is to testify that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. To say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. To say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu, lahul mulku wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. To say that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, who is alone, he has no partners, he has nobody who is with him in any aspect of his being or his work. For him and belongs to him everything which is in creation, and to him belongs all praise and all thanks. Lahul mulku wa lahul hamd. Wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir, and he has control and he is able to control every single thing. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his slave and is his messenger, and the last and final of them, after whom there is no other. Please understand, when we say that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a slave of Allah, this is not disrespecting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is to give him the greatest respect, because this is how he wanted to be addressed. They asked him, how should we address you? He said, say, Abdullah wa Rasuli. He said, Abdullah wa Rasuluhu. He said, say, I am the slave of Allah and his messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Isra, the first ayat of Surah Bani Israel, Subhanallazi asra bi abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina innahu huwa as-sami'ul basir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he is Allah, and all praise and all perfection belongs to him. Perfect is the one who took his slave, abdihi, his slave. His slave, when Allah called Rasulullah ﷺ his slave, this is the greatest honor that Allah can give to anybody, that Allah calls him his slave. So please understand this. When we say slave, we are not disrespecting the Prophet ﷺ. Na'udhu billah. So testifying and bearing witness to La ilaha illallah necessitates sincere and sole worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu alone, negating and denying the worship of anyone and anything else, whoever that means. The meaning of La ilaha illallah is that there is nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Allah. Therefore, whatever is worshipped besides Allah, whether it is a man or woman, whether it's an angel or a jinn or anything, celestial body or river or mountain or whatever, we declare that this is false and invalid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ هُوَ الْبَاطِلِ. Allah said, that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the truth. And he is the only creator, sustainer, maintainer, the Rabb, the God of all that exists. And he has no partners and no rivals. And what they, meaning anyone else, meaning polytheists, invoke and call besides him is falsehood. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هو الحق وأن ما يدعون من دونه هو الباطل. My brothers and sisters, it is very, very important for us to understand and be clear about the issue of Tawheed. And not to get mistaken and misguided by anyone in this matter. Shaitan, his cleverness is that he attacks the root, because he knows that if he attacks the branches, even if he chops off a branch, still the tree is alive. But if he attacks the root and he destroys the root, then the whole edifice, the whole magnificent tree is destined to dry and die and become fuel for the hellfire. And the root of Islam is Tawheed. It is the worship of only and only Allah. Tawheed means unification. Tawheed means making something one or asserting. In this case, we are not making, Allah is one. So we are asserting to that, and we are asserting to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. It comes from the Arabic word wahada, which means to unite or unify and consolidate. When the term Tawheed is used with reference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is Tawheedullah, it means the realizing, the affirming, the confirming, the accepting, the maintaining of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's unity in all matters in life, in this world and the next. And Tawheed alone differentiates Islam from all other religions. So what is Tawheed? Tawheed is the belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, and this one is not a number. It is the uniqueness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any rival, any comparable entity or body, any partner in his uluhiyah and ibadah, in his being worthy of worship and in his worship, one without partner in his dominion and his actions, meaning no partners in his control, in what he owns and in what he can do with what he owns. And this is rububiyat. And one without anything or anyone similar in his essence and attributes, which we call the Asma wa Sifatillahi Ta'ala, the names and the attributes, the names and the adjectives which describe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Tawheed fi Uluhiyat, Tawheed fi Rububiyat, and Tawheed fi Asma wa Sifat, these three are the branches of Tawheed. They are not three different parts or three different Tawheeds. This is Tawheed in all of these. When we teach it and when we learn it, we must understand it in its entirety, and this entirety comprises of these three things. Tawheed fi uluhiyatillahi ta'ala, which means Tawheed in the ibadah of Allah. Tawheed fi rububiyatillahi ta'ala, which means Tawheed in what we understand about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the creator, the maintainer, the sustainer, the one to whom is our return, the one who does everything, the one who owns everything. And Tawheed fi Asma wa Sifatillahi Ta'ala, which means the Tawheed, the uniqueness and the oneness and the way in which Allah is different from anything and anyone else with respect to his beautiful names and his sifat and his attributes. And to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unlike anything in creation. Laysa kamithlihi shay'un. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Bani Israel, He is unlike anyone and anything in creation. Now the three aspects of Tawheed, as I mentioned to you, Tawheed, Tawheed al-Rububiyah, Tawheed al-Uluhiyah, and Tawheed ul-Asma wa Sifat, are three aspects that we used in terms of teaching of Tawheed. And it's divided into these three ways, and we teach it in these three ways for ease of explanation, not because there are three parts. The three are together, they overlap, they are inseparable to such a degree that whoever misses one has failed in all. Whoever misses one aspect has failed to complete the requirement of Tawheed. The omission of any of these three aspects of Tawheed, which is Tawheedul Uluhiyat, Tawheedul Rububiyat, and Tawheedul Asma wa Sifat, missing out or joining anyone other than Allah in any of these associates to idolatry, associates to shirk, associates to the corruption of Tawheed. And this becomes idolatry, it becomes shirk. And so these three are intrinsically linked. Now, the purpose of our creation is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're looking at these aspects of Tawheed. So first and foremost, the purpose of our creation is to look at the is to understand that we are created for the worship of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I, Allah, have not created the jinn and humans except that they should worship me alone. This is the very reason for our creation. And in this case, when we say إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, we understand it also in the context and meaning of إِلَّا لِيَعْرِفُونَ, that Allah said, Allah created us in order for us to know Him. And obviously the two are linked. You cannot worship somebody that you don't know. So therefore, to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the deepest recesses of our hearts and minds is absolutely critical to the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Tawheedul Uluhiyah or Tawheedul Ibadah are the same things, which means maintaining the unity of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person enters Islam, he or she is bearing witness to the fact that he or she is willing to fulfill the purpose of their creation. When a person does not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or worships Him in a way that He did not prescribe, he is in fact denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the purpose of his own creation. So denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or committing shirk are both kufr in different ways. When a person is denying Allah altogether, a person is an atheist, he doesn't believe in God, he is committing kufr. But a person who is joining partners with Allah also is committing kufr, and he is committing shirk. He is committing shirk in the sense of joining partners, but he is committing kufr because he is denying that Allah is unique. So therefore, this person has committed kufr and shirk. Tawheed ul-uluhiyah is the condition of entering Islam. When we enter Islam, we begin with Tawheed ul-uluhiyah. La ilaha illallah. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawheed ul-uluhiyah, and if you think about this, most people believe in God or Rabb or Creator or Sustainer, but they don't worship Him as it is His right to be worshipped. They don't worship Allah as the only one worthy of being worshipped. Right? They say they believe in God, they believe in some, you know, universe and super consciousness and whatnot they call, and they worship them in kinds of rituals that they have created for themselves. All of this is shirk. All the Anbiya and the Asmani Kitabah, the divine books that came, including the Quran, came with the same message of Ubudiyah and Ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, without any corruption, any adulteration. And that is why we have to accept, to enter Islam, you have to accept the Uluhiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not anyone and anything else. This is the condition of accepting Islam. If somebody says, I believe in one God, this person has not entered Islam. He has to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? If he says, I believe in one God, or he believes in Allah, he says he believes in one God and he doesn't call Him, you know, I don't like the name Allah, I will call Him something else, then you are not a Muslim, you will never be a Muslim. Allah is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is His personal name. And we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Tawheed ul-Uluhiyah, in spite of the wide implications of the other two categories of Tawheed, which is Rububiyat and Asma wa Sifat, firm belief in them alone is not sufficient to fulfill the requirement of Tawheed. Tawheed ul-Rububiyah and Tawheed ul-Asma wa Sifat must be accompanied by their complement, which is Tawheed ul-Uluhiyah and Ibadah, in order for Tawheed to be complete. So worship is the proof of the other two. When we say La ilaha illallah, which is our buyout to enter Islam, there are three requirements. A person should believe La ilaha illallah in their heart. They should say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah with their tongues, and they should live by that. Now, believing in the heart that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is his messenger and his last and final messenger. We believe this in our hearts and Allah is witness. Then we say this, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. We say this with our tongues, that there is no one worthy, I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the messenger of Allah and the last and final of them. And then I live my life by that. What does it mean? It means that I have said that only Allah is worthy of worship, and therefore I worship only Allah. I do not worship anybody. I worship Allah. Actually, I prove my statement by doing that action. And how do I worship Allah? In the way of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the way he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So La ilaha illallah, when Allah said there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, then I stand up and say, I am ready. When you say Muhammadur Rasulullah, I follow Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How do I follow? By worshipping Allah the way Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, we do the same with all aspects of our life. We live our entire lives, and we try to live our entire lives the way that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lived his life. Right? So this is the proof. Salah is the proof of the kalima. And that is why Salah is so important. And that is why to leave Salah is to leave Islam. This is the thing that all the Sahaba were muttafaqun alayhi, they were agreed upon. In the hadith in Muslim, Jabir radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah said, between a man and kufr, between a person, meaning between a Muslim and disbelief and kufr and paganism and idolatry, is the abandonment of Salah. Meaning that if a person has left Salah, he has left Islam. Burayda radiallahu anhu reported in a hadith in Tirmidhi, Rasulullah said, that which differentiates us from the disbelievers and the hypocrites is our establishment of Salah. He who abandons it becomes a disbeliever, becomes a kafir. Rasulullah said, Al-ahadu alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salah, faman aradaha faqad kafara. He said the ahad, the covenant, the dividing line, the differentiator between us and them, between Muslims and non-Muslims, is the salah. The one who left it has left Islam, has committed kufr. So by not praying, the person is denying his iman. He said, La ilaha illallah. He said, there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. But when the time to worship Allah came, he did not worship Allah. So he said something, but with his action, he denied it. So therefore, he has left Islam. My brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from ourselves. I remind you and myself also that the importance of dua, which is the linguistic meaning of salah, is actually dua. But the technical meaning of salah in Islam is the prayer itself. So the confirmation of Tawheed al-Uluhiyya necessitates the denial of all forms of intercession or association of partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone prays to the dead or the souls of those who have passed away, seeking their influence in the lives of the living, they have associated partners with Allah, they have committed shirk. Because worship is being shared between Allah and His creation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ad-du'a'u ibadah. In another place he said, Ad-du'a'u mukhul ibadah. He said, dua is ibadah. He said, dua is worship. And he said, dua is the essence of worship, is the brain of worship. So if you go to a grave, no matter whose grave is it, including the grave of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there is no one in the world whose position is higher than that of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If you go to his grave, or you go to any other grave of any other person about whom you believe that this person was pious, this person was, I deliberately do not use the word saint, because saint is a Christian theological concept. There are no saints in Islam. A saint is somebody who the Pope denotes as a saint after they have passed away. We don't have a Pope and we don't have saints in Islam. Anyone who uses the word saints with respect to Muslim scholars, Muslim Salafu Salihin, Sahaba and so on, is speaking with ignorance. There are no saints in Islam. It's a Christian theological concept. We have we have awliya of Allah. And inshallah, next lesson we'll talk about awliya. But right now, let me make this statement very clearly, that anyone who goes to the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or to the grave of any Nabi, or to the grave of anyone who they think is a wali of Allah, and if they ask a favor from them, they are committing open shirk. Or if they say to them, please make dua for me to Allah that this should happen or that should happen, they are seeking their intercession and they are asking them to influence and they are asking them to talk to Allah and to make dua to Allah for themselves, this is open shirk. Please stay far away from this. We bear witness, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. We bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his last and final messenger who we follow, and therefore what we do, what he did, and what he did was he told us to ask Allah. Allah himself said, Ud'uni astajib lakum, ask me, I will give you. He did not say, go to the grave of somebody and ask them to make dua to me. He said, you ask me and I will give you. So do make dua, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with complete and total certainty that he is listening to you, he knows you, he knows what you are saying, he knows what you need, and it is in his power to give you if he wishes. Your job is only to persuade him, so beg and plead with him. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.